Is it on?
Yes. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Great.
Good afternoon,
honorable members, the DG and the department, officials of the department, DVD, directors, chief directors. I believe there's no assistant directors in this department. PMG, all other people that are around here. Welcome to the Select Committee on Economic Development, where we will be dealing with the budgets on briefing by the department, led by the Director General, on the Department of Mineral Resources in terms of the budget. Debate that is on the Thursday, 24th of May. Honourable members, I know it was like the day so far has been long for Honourable Maine. If I can look at him, we started early this morning as usual. Unusual for you to start so early, Honourable Maine. These are a 4-hour briefing that we are getting. The DG and the department have got 4 hours to brief us. So we leave at about 6:30, very fine with you. I see this, you see the staff, they are all smiling. They just want to work. That's what they want to do. but welcome. Everybody knows everybody. Matihali, you know them. Did they forget you? No, they can't forget you. She's from Limpopo, you see, Africa Day, she did the debate on Africa Day in the speech, DG. And that's why she's speaking so eloquently. Because she spoke eloquently. And she's speaking elegantly. Thank you, Honorable Cunningham. So everybody knows everybody. There's no need for introduction. This is Honorable Maine. You want to be introduced? Are you fine? Okay. Director General, we're not going to waste much time. We'll hand over to you and the department. Jabu, are you arranging the refreshments? Is it out? Huh? No, I think before the DG starts, then people can grab a cup of tea or something quickly. Hey, the longer they wait, then we'll have to change that refreshment into something stronger. Eating into that time, DG. The longer they wait for the tea, we'll have to change to something stronger because it's eating into that time. And it is cold here in Cape Town. Director General, Professor, over to you, sir.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members of the Select Committee, I thank you for the opportunity to present the 2012-13 Annual Performance Plan for the Department of Mineral Resources. I will begin by outlining our mandate, mission, and vision, as well as our strategic outcomes as linked to the priorities of national government. I'll proceed to cover the high-level strategic issues that the department has been and will continue to engage with during the 2012-13 financial year, after which program head will engage the community with their specific detailed plans. Our core for our mandate as a department is to ensure that we use our oversight of the country's mineral resources to ensure transformation, safety, sustainability, as well as economic growth of the mining industry through provision of an appropriate regulatory framework. Our mission is to promote and regulate the sector to the benefit of all our citizens. Our vision is to create a mining jurisprudence that is globally competitive. mining apart from recapturing its answer must contribute meaningfully to the government's overall objective of job creation and the eradication of poverty. Our strategic outcomes are aimed at ensuring that the mining industry experiences increased and sustainable investment. We are committed to doing everything possible to improve our regulatory environment while aligning our outcomes with the national priorities of government. The department has five outcomes, namely increased investment in the minerals and mining sector, improved health and safety conditions in the mining sector, achieve equitable and sustainable benefits from mineral resources, transform the mineral sector, create an efficient, effective, and development-oriented department. In developing the department strategy, we took cognizance of internal and external factors, which include continued and sustainable transformation of the industry, promoting the principle of sustainable development in exploitation of South Africa's mineral resources, promoting skills development, ensuring that there's health and safety and compliance in the mining industry, attracting investment in the industry, and to effectively implement our strategy, the department is structured into four programs. There's Program 1, which is Corporate Services, and Program 1.1, Office of the CFO, which looks after our finances, looks after supply chain management and information technology. Also have Program 2, which is Mine Health and Safety. Program 3, which is the Mineral Regulation. Program 4 is Mineral Policy and Promotion. We are also aware that honorable members have undertaken various oversight visits and would like to advise that the matters arising from those visits have in one way or another been addressed in the program. Chairperson and honorable members, I would like to call upon program managers to present the priorities for 2012-18 financial year. I'll start with program one, which is the Office of the CFO, which will present the budget.
Thank you, Gigi. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. This part of the presentation will be looking mainly at the budget and spending outlook for the department over the MTEF period, as well as slightly looking at part of the history on our spending. We'll also examine our resource plan and program. We'll also do some analysis in terms of expenditure estimates and provide reasons why some of the movements are occurring. We'll also do an analysis of our resource plan, the economic classification. And then the second part of the presentation will then go into the branch-specific strategic objective for the Office of the CFO, which will then be followed by the conclusion. As far as the spending outlook is concerned, for the financial year 2012-18, the DMR has been allocated a total budget of 1.169 billion, which represents an 8.8% increase comparing it to the first year in the MTEF, which is the 2008-09 financial year. And looking forward, this budget is expected to grow at an average rate of 5.2%. When we look at the total budget allocation and we classify it in terms of the DMR as a department and the portion that goes to the entities as part of a transfer payment, we're looking at a 55.8% and a 44.2% split respectively. We are happy to report, Honorable Chair, that for the 11-12 financial year, we have registered an underspending of below 1%, sitting at 0.9% or 9.5 million in rent spending. We have already committed this 9.5 million in the form of order that that have been delivered on and just awaiting payment. And in this regard, we've already sent a rollover request to National Treasury for the money to be allocated in the new year. If we now look at the budget in terms of the program allocation, we see there that program one, the expenditure for program one is expected to increase from 263 million in the 11-12 financial year, moving up to 270 in the final year of the MTF, which is 2014-15, and this represents an average rate of 0.7%. And the reason why we are seeing a decrease there, or a relative decrease, or rather a below inflation increase, is because during the 11-12 financial year, the department took a decision to decentralize some of the funding from program one and allocated it to different programs. So linked to that was then the additional allocation linked to inflation, as well as the budget cuts that are implemented from National Treasury on an annual basis with a view to reduce government spending. So that 0.7% is a result of all those three factors. When we move on, we look at mine health and safety. We can just stay on that same slide. If we look at mine health and safety, the program allocation is expected to move from 135 in the 11-12 financial year, 135 million, to 175 million in the 2014-15 financial year. And the reason for that is mainly linked to additional allocation linked to inflation adjustment. And then still on the same slide, the next program is the mineral regulation. This program moves from 184 million in 11-12 to about 194 million in the 2014-15 financial year at an average rate of 1.4%. This is one of those programs that have been affected by the budget cuts, and as a result, the rate of increase in the budget over the MTF is relatively below inflation. Then the last program for the department is the Mineral Policy and Promotion branch or program, where we are expecting an increase of about 350 million over the MTEF, moving from 446 million in the 11-12 financial year to 719 million in the 2014-15 financial year. And this is at an average rate of about 12.7%. And the reason for this increase is basically new funds that were allocated in respect of the economic support packages, or the economic support and competitiveness package that were allocated to the Council for Geoscience as well as the MINTEC, which are our entities reporting to the Minister of Mineral. I will now share with your permission, skip the next few slides because they cover what I've just presented here in more detail, and go to slide number 9, which is the budget presented per economic classification. Here, the key observations or analysis coming out of this slide, if we look at the top there, the figures relating to compensation of employees, we are seeing a bit of an increase, and part of that increase relates to inflation adjustment or additional funding to cover inflation. However, if one looks closely at the relationship between 2011-12 and 2012-13, the increase seems to be little bit out of sync there, and this was mainly due to some understanding that we had in compensation of employees for the 11-12 financial year. Moving on to goods and services, where we'll be moving from 283 million in the 11-12 financial year, going down to 200 million in the 12-13 financial year. This decline is attributable to two main reasons. There was a 15 million budget reduction, as I spoke to earlier on, but also linked to that, we also asked for Treasury to do a reclassification of budget where 20 million over the MTF was moved from goods and services to transfer payment earmarked for the Council for Geoscience. So that those were the reasons why our goods and services budget is going down. Then lastly on this slide is the transfers and subsidies, where this particular area is growing at a rate of about 33% over the two financial years, or rather over the MTEF. This is also linked to the earlier reason that I spoke to on the economic support and competitiveness packages for MinTech and GSI. So I thought, Chair, in the interest of time, let me summarize the budget in those two slides. And the rest of the information contained in the presentation is basically around those two tables that have been presented. With your permission, Chair, I would like now to move on to the branch-specific objectives and measures, where in as far as the stakeholder or customer perspective, seeing that we are a branch that serves both the internal as well as the external stakeholders, we'll be looking at improving or providing reliable and timely information, where we'll be measuring ourselves in terms of our compliance with the prescribed time frame. This would cover things like submission of annual financial statements, monthly reports to National Treasury, and so forth. Then on the same perspective, we'll be looking at improving service delivery, where we'll measure ourselves in respect of the processes where we've defined turnaround times for each and every process that we have within the branch. So we'll be monitoring there to see how many processes have actually confined or where we've performed in line with the defined turnaround time. Linked to that, we'll also be performing a customer satisfaction survey where we would like to improve based on the performance from the previous financial year. Then we'll also have an objective to educate and empower our stakeholders, where we would like to see a reduction in the number of complaints. As we are rendering the services, we have a mechanism where both our internal and external clients can register complaints for services that were not rendered to their satisfaction. So we'd like to see a reduction in that area. But also linked to this education and empowerment, we'd like to see a reduction in the level of non-compliance. Here we'd like to just eliminate it to get to a 100% compliance level, because we wouldn't want to compromise that. Based on the stakeholder perspective, we also provide ICT system or information and communication technology system to the department. And our target there is to make sure that all systems are running 99.9% of the time. So we measure that both in terms of the system uptime, but also in terms of the calls that are logged due to the response time on the system. And then lastly on this perspective, we'll also be promoting transformation policies. In this regard, there's a big concern around government's ability to pay suppliers within 30 days. So we have decided as a department to put it as one of our measurable objectives, that we'd like to measure the percentage of invoices paid within 30 days. Then moving on to the internal processes that underpin all the work that we will be doing in respect of servicing our customers, where we are targeting developing a number of new policies, particularly within the ICT environment. We also want to develop policies and processes as well as procedures that are linked to those policies that I spoke about. But also in terms of the monitoring of turnaround time, we look at it from two angles. We look at, from a customer perspective, how many processes are actually delivering within the prescribed turnaround time. But here we are looking at what can we do to improve on those processes. So we measure how many processes have actually improved in terms of the turnaround time compared to last year. With regard to ICT, again, we would not be doing justice to our customers if there is no alignment between the work that we do and the requirements of the colleagues who are sitting around the table here. So we developed a master systems plan to make sure that there is that alignment between our plans as ICT and those of the department as a whole. And moving on to the next perspective, which is the learning and growth. Here we will be looking mainly at three aspects, which is internally examining our leadership within the branch. Say, are the managers well trained? Are they capable of leading the branch to the next level? And we'll be taking them through different courses, management courses, to make sure that that happens. We'll also be targeting making sure that there is a reduction in the number of vacancies in the branch, but also from an attraction and development of skills, we'll be looking at compliance with the employment equity requirements, programs that are aimed at reducing staff turnover rates, but as well as training on a much broader scale. Then lastly, Honorable Chair, we look at the financial perspective, which one can call the core of our branch. Here, we've got four objectives. First one, we're looking at maximizing the utilization of our resources, mainly looking at those physical movable resources being our assets, and we would like to see a reduction in the number of assets that are disposed prior to the end of their lifespan. In other words, we want to eliminate asset losses in this regard, but we also aim to align the departmental budget to the strategy as a whole. While in the process of coming up with this annual performance plan, there has been a process of examining our budget and linking it to the program. As a continuous thing, we would like to see that what we have planned in the beginning for each program, as an expenditure item level, there are no major changes or shifts from the original plan to the final product that we deliver. So on a continuous basis, we'll be looking at changes made to the originally allocated budget. As part of managing costs effectively, on a monthly basis, we look at the percentage between the budget allocated, both at the departmental and at the branch level, and then we compare what the variance is. The best practice there is always that we need to be under 5%. But when I would say, if you look at our history over the last 2 or 5 years, you would actually see that we have always come in as a department at less than 3% of the allocated budget. So we've got quite a tight standard that is set for ourselves. Again, we aim to eliminate cases of irregular expenditure. And then lastly, to get all of this in place, we need proper governance structures in place. So through our internal audit function, we'll be examining our performance in terms of how well are we implementing the management action plan that we are committed to in response to issues raised by our internal audit colleagues, as well as those that are raised by the external auditors. And we aim to have all of them implemented. And then our colleagues from the compliance unit have developed a compliance framework that we all need to adhere to. We would like to also achieve 100% compliance in that regard. And also, lastly, make sure that the risk management framework within the DMR is implemented effectively. Honorable Chair, that concludes the presentation from the CFO branch. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, CFO. Honorable members, I just want you to grab something, DC and the team. Just grab something and then we'll just break for about 30 minutes. Grab a cup of coffee. Seems you're going to fall asleep. We don't want you to fall asleep. Just grab a cup of coffee and we can return back. We'll just break for 3 minutes. Is that okay with you, DC? Fine with you? Okay. Mr. Nyambi? Look there. I guess now, let's work well this work to see if I can clear.
He's cold, though.
Come here, my son. Let's see what it is.
Look, I'm going to prepare my speech. I'm going to do the manner of the I'm not saying I'm leaving now. But if I leave, I don't report. I'm saying I'm going to concentrate only. I'm only dealing with manner. There are people who talk about energy. Right? So you must tell me what you wanted to say on mineral. I've got my own issues.
What? Youth? Youth?
Faith?
Youth?
Nationalization?
Youth?
Nationalization of the mind. I want to achieve.
Thank you, sir. My good man. In the DM? Deputy Minister? I've seen him around. No, it's not a problem. The marker has been deployed by the MEC through Free State. So the message is only coming for the debate. So the president must fly back again.
No.
And that don't work. Zul je me nou oppassen dat ik voor jou zeg, zoals wij.
Ik moet even komen, dan moet je even
lachen.
Sorry. Wanneer staat de groep?
Net tomorrow.
Na.
Okay, no, we are just waiting for you to take your seat. I don't want to talk and then you are disturbing me while I'm talking, trying to intimidate me. So if you take your seat, I'll start. Thank you, Honorable Gandhi. Didi, before you start, let me just make the apology for the minister who's out in the Free State. As you are in Secunda this morning, he's in the Free State, the deputy minister, I think he's around, I've seen him. But I'm not sure whether he was invited to this meeting or what. But the minister is in the Free State, so we accept the apology. Honorable Familian, apology accepted.
I have no reason.
Good. No, we'll give you the reason. But the apology, thank you, the apology has been accepted. Thank you, Honorable Familian. Yeah, we can proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. The next presentation is Program 2, which will be presented by the Chief Inspector of Mines.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Member. My mouth and page to French. We have five cottage of second to contribute the development. Third is to ensure compliance with several federal agreements, which are only improving the capacity of the inspectorate. Fourth is to develop and review internal process, which is to ensure that they are consistent and transparent approach are protect our inspector. And lastly, to improve the turnaround time for our inspection staff. You can also read in conjunction with the page 39.
we'll be measuring ourselves in terms of the percentage reduction on occasional fatality, injuries, and danger of occurrence. Danger of occurrence are occurrences, are incidents which do not result in casualties, but have a potential to harm humanity. And we are looking at the target of 20% improvement year on year. We are also looking at a percentage reduction in overexposure to critical facial exposure limits. This is to ensure that there is a significant improvement on silicosis cases, and we are looking at 10% improvement of the current achievements, or 7% in the next 3 years, we are looking at about 30% improvement. And lastly, the percentage reduction in overexposure to noise, special limits, to also reduce or prevent noise in and with the next continuum under the same perspective, we are going to also measure ourselves in terms of the percentage investigations and inquiries completed, and we are looking at 80% per annum, and also the number of inspections conducted. We are also looking at about 8,000, spend about 8,000 per annum, and then we are also looking at the number of audits that we conducted to monitor compliance. We're looking at 396, and last on the slide, we are looking at percentage adherence enforcement guidelines to ensure that there's a consistent and transparent approach by all our countries. On the next slide, under the same perspective as well, we also work on skills development. We, as the department, we administer relevant examinations, like the mine managers, survey, mine overseers, engineering skills case as well, in terms of the provisions of the Mine Health and Safety Act. However, our major concern has been on the low pass rate. Thus, we intend to ensure improvement through the review and implementation of a new set of competency model to improve the pass rate, but I must emphasize that it won't compromise the quality of the examination itself. And we further want to engage with the mine qualification, which is the NQA, other relevant stakeholders to work together on the skills development. The next slide, under the internal processes, the first one is the implementation of the implement the service level agreement. We currently have two service level agreements. Both of them is to enhance the capacity of the inspectors. We have one with the best university for training our inspectors, and the other with Goldfields for imparting practical experience on the inspectors, because we do have a inspector program and other problem as well. So we believe by complying with those service level agreements by 100%, then we will also enhance the capacity challenges for our patients. And also we're going to develop the internal processes, radius, and to improve on the consistency and transparency. And we're looking at achieving 100% on all goals that have been identified for the development and implementation. Lastly, on the improvement of turnaround time as well, then we at a target of 80%. Thank you.
Mineral regulation, which we present and serve by the TTT in the Russian. Thank you and good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Member, and TTN colleagues. I will be taking Honorable Member to Program 3 of the PGN indication, which program should be read in the strategic plan document with the relevant pages, which are pages 40 up to 50. Of the table also, annual performance plan. In terms of our program, we do have the strategic objectives on promotion of job creation, promotion of sustainable work management, ensuring the implementation of the transformation policy, monitoring and enforcement of compliance, the development and the review of internal processes, as well as the reduction of state environmental liability and the financial risk. This excludes the cost-cutting areas of financial and lending perspective, which deal with the current issues, as well as the skill development that we are internal. With regard to the first objective on equitable, the first objective is on promotion of job creation and outcome of equitable and sustainable benefits from mineral resources. What we have in place, we should use to measure our performance around the number of jobs that normally get generated from new mining rights. And in this regard, what we'll be doing is the identification of applications for new mining rights, which include social and labor plans, as well as environmental management programs, because we have realized that mining rights have a higher percentage and probability of creating more jobs than prospecting rights. The second initiative is around increased compliance inspections on implementation of mining rights programs, environmental management programs, and social labor plans, essentially emphasizing that if you do intensify compliance inspections, with improved level of compliance, it is possible to realize the jobs that have been committed, if not more. The other areas around the SMME development project, which are linked to the mining rights itself, and through increased compliance inspection, you're also able to realize the improvement in job creation. And the other one is around local economic development projects. Once again, the issue of improved and increased compliance inspection, you are able to realize the commitment and undertakings that are contained in the mining rights, which lead to increased job creation. The second objective is around promotion of sustainable resource use and management. And here, we'll be focusing on percentage of evaluated waste program relative to rights, which will cover both your mining as well as your prospecting rights. Here, in the identification of the submitted work program for the rights that I have referred to, what we'll be doing is we'll also be verifying this through inspection to ensure that that which has been committed is indeed being implemented. Around percentage of approved social labor plans relative to rights issued, the focus will be on the adjudication of social and labor plans and verification of this through inspection. And then around percentage of approved environmental management programs and plans relative to the rights that have been issued, once again, we'll be doing the adjudication and verifying this through inspections. And honorable members would have noted that there is a premium being placed on inspections because that has the capability to increase the compliance level. And around the third objective of reducing state environmental liability and financial risk, the focus will be on the percentage of rights and of permits with adequate financial provision for rehabilitation as a way of minimizing the state exposure to risk associated with sites that cannot be rehabilitated adequately because they are insufficiently or inadequately funded. And here, we are going to be identifying rights and or permits which have inadequate provision, financial provision for rehabilitation. And the second area is the review of the environmental management program in respect of financial provision, as well as the review of the performance assessment reports that are submitted by rights holders from time to time in terms of the terms and conditions of the rights. The other area is around percentage of mines issued with closure without residual state liability. In compliance with the MPRDA, the relevant section, in section 43, is to ensure that when we assess closure application, these are done in strict compliance with that provision and that no closure certificates are issued for those right holders if they are not fully compliant with section 43 of the MPRDA. It basically speaks about the need also to get concurrence from other sister departments such as Water Affairs to ensure that there are no residual or comebacks to the state, how to put it that way. Then around the transformed mineral sector, an objective that we have identified for ourselves is to ensure the implementation of the transformation policies. And what we have as a measure for ourselves is the number of rights granted to new historical disturbed in South Africa. And initiatives that will be doing facilitating entry of new HDAs into the sector. The other one is around the number of consultations that we'll also be having with various communities. We also have set aside a target for ourselves of that number of fish. And around the number of industry workshops, we've targeted to hold 9. I need to just also indicate that these industry workshops are very critical for us, because that's where we encourage clients to address some of the implementation challenges that they might be encountering. Also, to focus on the percentage procurement spend on ADAs in line with the mining charter. Here, aiming for 100% with the compliance, so targeting 100%. Now, with regard to the internal focus, these are the internal business process. Our objective is to monitor and enforce compliance. Through this program, we seek to achieve 100% compliance with the regulatory requirements. The primary focus is also around the number of mining charter and legal compliance inspection that we conduct. We cover various disciplines, such as social and labor plans, black economic empowerment, which is the equity part, and mineral laws, cover compliance with terms and conditions of the rights as a whole. Also, focusing on the number of environmental management plans for prospecting rights and or program for mining rights inspection that will be conducted through our mine environmental management. And another way of monitoring and enforcing compliance is ensuring that we improve our percentage of adherence to prescribed time frames in processing of applications, covering various stages critical in the processing of applications. We set ourselves a target of 70%, and also improving the percentage of revenue collected. Set ourselves a target of 70%. In the interest of time, the issue is to call cutting, because they are similar to all other programs, Honorable Chair and members. We will leave you in case you have questions.
Thank you, Honorable Member, Honorable Chair. The next presentation will be Program 4, Mineral Policy and Promotion, to be presented by the Acting DDG, Mr. Ryan.
Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the State Committee on Community Development, so I'm going to present on the Programme Number 4, Mineral Policy and Promotion. Our strategic objectives, as our activities are around to promote investment in the mining and mineral sector. Secondly, is to promote sustainable resource use and management. Thirdly, to ensure transformation in the mining and mineral sector, as well as to ensure that we work in a very efficient way to look into ourselves as a program, develop and review our own internal processes in terms of servicing our various stakeholders, and in that regard, be able to also to address the issues of turnaround times to whatever queries from the constituents that were serving in the mining and mineral sector. From the stakeholder perspective, as a program, our role is to also and continue to publish publications that inform the public and the various stakeholders. And we have been doing this per annum. We publish around 35 publications, and the flagship of those publications is something called South African Mining Industry Publication. We are also engaged and continue to engage in the current plan of the year to have a minimum of 7 strategic partnerships as well as we continue to grow and support the small, medium, micro enterprises, which amount to about 67 currently, cover areas such as small scale mining and beneficiation, and so on and so forth. And we've also been making fast and furious in terms of developing a beneficiation strategy, to which also currently we are busy developing an implementation framework for that beneficiation strategy. And going further on, also one of our primary and core activities is to promote sustainable resource management. We have developed a framework for mine environmental management, which looks at strategies for sustainable mining with a particular focus, amongst others, to look at the mine dump as well as mine tailings. And the other one is ongoing and also trying to create, to deal with the ownerless and derelict mines that have grown from the legacy of 121 years of mining in South Africa. And currently, in this planned financial year, we plan to rehabilitate 12 sites with the available. And then also, honourable members and chairperson, we are also active in the area of asset mine drainage management, and in that regard we work closely with the Department of Water, Affairs and Environment, as well as the Department of Science and Technology, which constitute the Interministerial Committee work within that space. We are involved in research on mine water management. We also are playing a critical role also in terms of implementation of solutions, particularly one canal, one is in Florida there, and also sealing some abandoned shafts in the line of work which talks to on an indirect mine as well. We also participate in the various task teams, one which looks at the treatment of its mine drainage. And then also, honourable members and honourable chairperson, we are also very closely involved in the ensuring that the mining and mineral sector is transformed and ensures that there is a place for all South Africans. We review the mining and mineral decision. Currently, we are reviewing the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act, currently drafted. We are in the process of having drafted the amendment bill and awaiting certification in due course. We are also looking at the Mine Health and Safety Act, which has also been drafted and awaiting certification by state attorneys. We also engaged in the area of policy impact study to see whether these policies and laws have the required impact or meet the expectations of the mandate of the government. In that regard, we have developed a Black Economic Empowerment Mining Directory. We also do what we call business study on transformation in the mining industry. And then also, as I said, in terms of reviewing our ways of working in an efficient manner, we also develop and review our own processes, in terms of how we do things. We look at all the processes that we do and look at ways of how we can improve them. And in that regard, we also put upon ourselves targets that we want to achieve in order to ensure service delivery. For our component, mineral content promotion, we've set ourselves a target of 95% adherence to prescribed timeframes in terms of responding to all the clients who are serviced by our prevention department, DPT queries, and so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for your attention. honorable members, the last but not least, to corporate services, Ms. Kabene will be presenting it.
Thank you, honorable chair
and honorable members. My presentation outline will be on our structure, the branches, focus areas. This will be stakeholder perspective, which is more external focus, as well as internal processes and internal focus, the DMR learning and growth. For more information, you could read that in our APP as provided from pages 6 to 12 and pages 16 to 20. Under corporate services, we have human resource, legal services, auxiliary support service, which is facilities, transport and registry, communication and special projects. Under stakeholder perspective, which as I said, is externally focused, we have a few strategic objectives. One of them is contributing to skill development, which is career awareness initiatives that we do in the community, where mining takes place, acquisition of services for learners from poor backgrounds, and by this we are talking about the flagship project of the minister, the Girl Learner Project, which is now increasing from 21. Baseline that we have for this year is 21, and we intend increasing that to 30 for this year. We also have a graduate placement program with working together with the MPA and the mining sector providing for us. The other objective, which is that of sustainable development of vulnerable groups, and here we mean women, particularly women, youth and disabled, where we have projects that we engage with them, that we help them with. For instance, the right now we're busy with the brick making project and at any level for the women. Another stakeholder perspective is the objective is to communicate DMR policies and programs out there through our communication strategy, through facilitating media and stakeholder engagement, and through public participation programs, particularly with the community, to engage with them to understand what the issues are and how also we think we can help them. The other focus area, the strategic objective, would be our transformation initiative, and in particular, as I said earlier, we're working on projects for women in mining in particular. Our internal processes, we develop, review, and implement policies on an ongoing basis, and these are policies that assist in the functioning of the department as a whole. Our legal support services, we aim to have timely responses to opinions, to appeals and litigation, and also with the Mine Health and Safety branch, we conduct accident inquiries. We also, through our security directorate, we provide the vetting for employees and contractors that are contracted with the department. We screen them for purposes of disability. We also aim to be compliant with the human resource legislation through the submission of financial declarations and performance agreements timely. Our learning and growth focus is on management and leadership development through one of the EDP program, executive development program, and managers completing their courses. And these are courses that are related to the performance development plans that have been submitted to include the human resource component of HR of ours. The filling of funded and vacant positions is also a objective of the department, because we are looking to reduce vacancies, and we also, in the same process, looking to attract, develop, and retain skills through improvement of our employment equity, through the reduction in staff turnover, and through our human resource development intervention. We are committed as a team to building a formidable Department of Mineral Resources team that is able to effectively discharge its responsibility, serve our people, and make it difficult in their lives. Thank you.
No, thank you, DG and DDG's directors, chief directors. Honourable Member, it is now over to you. In the order, Honourable Nyambi, let me see, Honourable Maine, Honourable Abrams, Honourable Sinclair, and Honourable Lingan, Honorable Nguni, and our Honorable Chief, Khosi Madikhali. In that order, Honorable Nambi.
When you talk to be very practical, let me use the recent one.
the last one. You talk about the reduction of staff, percentage reduction of staffing, turnover, reduction, percentage reduction in vacancies. But it's not specific about that percentage. So that when we're dealing with the annual report, we can be able to say, you know, you said we're going to reduce it by 5% now, but we're at 9%. What happened to the 4%? So you are playing it safe, and it's going to be a reduction. Whether it's 17, you say, no, you are 17, now we're at 16, and it will be debatable. So do it as we have done this program. Two, you have done with program three, because when you go to your program two, we are very clear that the number of audits that we are going to conduct, the number of percentages actually over exposure to those operational exposure limit is 10%. So even in your annual report, it is going to be simple for us to engage based on what you have presented to us. That's the first one. The second one is about the reduction of a percentage of invoices paid in 30 days. I think that one is not negotiable. In the State of the Nation address, in all the forums, in the recent workshop that was addressed by the President, it's very clear that this one, we have to have a way of making sure that we have a zero tolerance of any department that is not paying service providers in 30 days. There won't be any reason. We do not have to talk about it. I'd like your comment on that one. The third question is about the consultation that we're going to have with communities, 50 of them. If you can assist us, as we are the only house that is representing the interest of public, be able to show us in terms of geographical spread, how are you going to spread the figures so that we can see that it's really reflecting what we are representing as we are representing the interest of different provinces. Then the last part one. Do you think the mandate is fine as is, or there is a need to change it to reflect any other government priorities, the mandate of the department? Do you think it's fine as is, or you can change it to reflect any other government priorities? If it's fine, I'd like you to comment on that one. And the last one is about the programs, the four programs. Is there a need to either keep them as they are, or to add a program, or as a department that you find that in terms of your mandate, you think with these four programs, it's impossible to you to be equal to the task that has been presented by the minister, that has been presented by the new growth path of the country? Thanks, Chairperson. But anyway, it was a very good presentation that is giving us a better understanding of what is happening, and it will be simple for us at the end of the year to be able to come and engage when presenting the annual report.
Honorable Maimi?
I don't know why you mentioned me, because I had a private discussion with the DG staff. I may not get my permit. However, so I didn't want to ask a question because I had a private discussion with the DG. But question, my concern, Chairperson, with me, was that it's not necessarily the question. Around the whole issue of transformation and policy enforcement. I think you would agree with me that most of the complaints that the department will be getting, as well from
community relates to issues of policy, whether the big companies not adhering to issues of their commitment, like your social labor plan. I know that in my province, a lot of mining has caused a lot of problems. In the later area of Kubung and I think in most of it, in Boston Crab and in Tahu. Maybe you may not have the details of that now, but the deputy minister once, and the minister went to this area respectively, but there has not been anything forthcoming. If you are Department of Health, every day, what we will be doing will be the issue ensuring that all of us are healthy. I'm trying to eat healthy enough so that I reduce my time. Now, as a department, I think we should be concerned that the issue of transformation, I've seen it I'll look at the annual performance plan, but it should be something that we worry about the issue of transformation in the mindset. And I would call it the anthem of the department. But do we, are we satisfied, is the department satisfied at the level, at the rate at which transformation is taking place 18 years into democracy, into that sector, the mindset? If you're not happy, what is it that you're doing so that we in the next crisis, we are not where we are, and I may not be in mind, I said I may not be in the department, but certainly we know the level of transformation in my view, moving very slow, so what are the intentions of the department? So because I've not raised my hand, I am preserving my eloquence so that I get what I discuss in the DV.
You know, the constitution says that the committees of parliament are open to the public. There's no private discussions in committees of parliament. And the rules of parliament says that. Honourable Abrams.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. In program one, I'd like to know regarding the brickmaking project for women, how many beneficiaries are there, and then also what projects do you have for disabled people, and what level of disabled are they? And then you've mentioned the skill development for the community at large, what is it that the community can benefit, and also if you could tell me the different provinces. Then in program four, regarding the rehabilitation of the mine dump, housing is notorious for the mine dumps. I've grown up with all these mine dumps. What will be done, because being a health agent for many, many years, people with all different kinds of illnesses, and also will there be opportunities for the locals in these areas? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, let me start up with the issue about illegal mining, and I think we must agree it remains a challenge. I don't know if the department is aware of the incident that happened a few hours ago when 9 miners are trapped in which just once again proves that given the state of many of the mines, illegal mining remains a lucrative business enterprise, and many people involved themselves, and it seems that we're struggling to stop it. So the first issue that I want to raise with the department is the issue about illegal mining. We know that there's a lot of work done by the police and the mine security and also the department. But what else can we do to stop this whole activity if possible? Then secondly, Chair, I won't go too much in the figures today, but it's a pity that the minister is not here. We know the minister comes to our committee. But on our oversight visit as permanent delegate PG, we visited the Northern Cape, and the whole issue about the state think I'm trader was raised again. I didn't raise it, it was raised by some of the other colleagues and even some of the executive members of the Northern Cape. They then, to my amazement, said that despite the announcement by the minister and the senior staff that the state diamond trader will be in Gauteng, they then said there's negotiations going on regarding the state diamond trader and relocating it back to the Northern Cape. Now, what is the situation? Because you know my viewpoint, I believe that the state diamond trader must be in the Northern Cape. But after many deliberations and clarifications, I assume that it's there. I think, why I raise that point is to say, let's clarify this matter. If the state diamond trader then is going to be in Gauteng, let it be there. But let's stop the street gossip and keeping people presenting with them without them. Hopefully at one stage it will come. Which then brings me to the last issue, Jay, is the issue about the beneficiation. Reference is being made regarding the beneficiation strategy and so on. But I think we must now move past the talk phase and get to the implementation phase. Because every day tons of raw materials are exported to other parts of the world and our people on many levels are losing out. What is the status with these beneficiation plans and strategies? And who is those partners that might be involved and interested in these ventures? Thank you, sir.
Honorable Fawigan.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I don't know if the slide presentations actually really tell us what's going on. It's very vague, and I didn't gather much from that. My concern at the moment is the money spent on derelict mines and mine environment. I'm really worried about that. And you read a little bit here, and you read a little bit there, and then you see along the West Coast how the people object to what's happening, and that the social labor plans are never implemented. I don't know if these things are happening, and I don't know how much money is being spent on it. Mining health and safety, I really don't know how much money is being spent on that. Maybe I didn't read properly, but except for the CFO's presentation, the rest all talk about, if you look at the other documents, it says we want to stick to regulations, we don't want to go fraudulent, we want to reduce this by 30% and that by 20%. So it almost gives the impression that this department is not running well and that they have to reduce irregularities with the PFMA by 30% to start with. So I'm really disappointed. And as one of my colleagues said, there's nothing about how this money is going to be spent in the provinces. This is the NCOP. And we work for provinces, we are here in the provincial interest, and I really would have liked to see more of a provincial balance in the whole program. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mgoni.
Thank you, Chair. On the contrary, I'd like to express my sentiments as the first speaker, Honourable Young. I would like to say, actually, quoting the late Minister for the Institution of Intellectual Training, which has been mentioned inside that he's bringing back work. There's not much can say. I have just got a few questions, Chairperson. On the issue of transformation, I think another one he has tried to actually cover this to some extent. I keep on asking even the minister to say, are we on target to meet the 26% transference or ownership of a mine to trigger the disadvantage South African or the strategy department in reaching the target. If you want to reach the target at that specific time, 2014, how much do you think would have been transferred to ADI? And also the mineral policy grant, how far the insurers are going to reach their target. And then Chairperson, on the issue of cross-cutting issues, I see that in all the programs you've got the DMR culture and financial stewardship in all the programs. You've got that program or those sub-programs. I'd like to find out whether how much you cost that, and if it is the same team with the whole body assigned to that, the same team that's working across all the divisions to make sure that you attain that on the DMR culture and financial facilities. And that's just one more. On the plea, we continue in Allen Ridge, which is one of those older places in the coal field next to Welcome, next to the Archives. There's a township near Kalong. It's situated next to an old slant dam, of which people were staying around that slant dam. A lot of them are not developing asthma from all the dust that is on the dam in winter and in summer. They can't spend things from the dam, so it's called steam dam. Now the municipality is intending to pump roadways into the dam. I've previously requested to the PT Minister of Environment, I think, then the Joint Minister of Party. I've written a letter to the former Minister of Tourism and Environment, Mugabe. And I've been appealed to the Minister of Natural Resources, Minister Sundar Pichai. There hasn't been any response so far. I just want to find out if the department can perhaps look into the dam, because it's now over 3 years, to be exact, that I have made a request, a written letter, without any response, if they can do anything about the dam to be rehabilitated or to be refilled. I don't know what my mind used to be in those days. I think red mines, the change hands became the target, change hands become the, they can promote the, I don't know what it is now. So it can just manage.
Thank you, Honorable Nguni. Madikhali, Honorable Dikhali.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join Honorable Nguni and Muguni and welcome the presentation. That was a very good presentation. Even if you look tired, but I'm impressed. My question is under program number 2, page 5, where they're speaking about the contribution to the skills development. I want to know if ever they are referring to the people who are working in the mine, or is it going to be an outreach program even to those who are affected by the mines in the community? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG and team. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chen, Honorable Member. I will start with the questions which are raised by Honorable Nyambe on the targets for the other programs. They are there in our plan. All our programs have got targets. It's just that I think when they were putting the presentation, they did not put the details. There is this annual performance plan which we have there, and they just got detailed targets for each and every program. So they are there in the plan. So definitely, come end of the year, We can see those targets. We have to achieve those targets as indicated in the plan. They are there, definitely. And I've taken note of that point. Maybe in the future we have to show them
type of on the screen, these are all the presentations that you can look at them. The issue of reduction of percentages in terms of the 30 days issue of paying service provider, I agree with you. It is a very important thing for the country, and it's not negotiable, I agree with you. It's just that sometimes we have got challenges in the department, especially where we find that we deal with some of the small suppliers, and find that the information they provide us is not adequate, and then we have got to delay. But definitely, I agree with you, it's something which we should not be negotiable. We should ensure that we pay all suppliers within 30 days. The other issue which was raised was with regards to consultation and geographic spread, the 50 consultation. I'll ask the regulator to talk to them.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. In terms of the spread that we have, what we would use is the historical information around known areas where there are conflicts between communities and mining houses. I must also indicate that the figure of 50 is not fixed. This is basis for planning purposes. Those are the ones that we have. From time to time, we do get requests from other communities, then add on to the ones that we already have in our plan, and the number increases. But with regard to the geographical spread, we can make the information available outside. I must also indicate that, as I was saying, it's more responding to those areas where, as honorable members were indicating, even, for example, talking about some of the areas in the Northwest, from time to time, we then have to go and have engagement with them. They therefore then form part of our plan. But as and when we get to know other communities, I'm aware of, for example, of Allen Ridge, one of the communities where we were there a few days ago and we're having meetings with them. So as and when we receive information, we include those into our program. Thank you.
Okay. The issue of the mandate, whether it is financed, should we include other areas? I think when I look at it, it is fine. And but basically, it allows us to focus on the two legs of mining, that is basically promoting the mining industry and regulating the industry. And I think that, in my opinion, it is fine. If we can broaden it and move into other areas eventually, you know, find ourselves moving into other departments' activities. I would say one of our members is fine as it is. But there's always room to look at it now and again. We can always look at it. The other one is the programs. I define the programs as they are. The four programs, I think also they are fine. They're actually related to the mandate and of the department, if you look at it. One program will look at the finances, okay, and corporate services, which are critical in any organization. You need to have people who look after your finances. You need to have people who look after, you know, people issues, which is corporate services. But also, now, if you look at the industry, the mining industry, what is critical for South Africa and where we are now? We need to promote the industry. We need to attract why we have got that program of mineral promotion. We then focus on doing statistical analysis, looking at the situation, going out to conferences and promoting, trying to attract investment into the country. But it is also linked to research and development. That is the Council for Social Science and MINTEC. These will fall under this because they will be, as they do their research, they will be promoting the industry. But you can't just allow, you know, people to come in and just work and work. You have to regulate them. That is why we've got the regulatory branch there, whereby they will look at regulating in terms of licensing, mm-hmm. adhering to environmental issues. But then we've got a very important thing also, mine health and safety is a special one. It's an inspectorate that we know that people will always be involved in expanding when it comes to mines and ensuring that people work in a very safe environment. So I think those programs for now, they can address our problem. They can help the department to manage and to manage the industry. Maybe what should be looked at is to increase capacity within those branches. I think that is a very important one. If you look at what has happened in the past, and look at the Minerals Act of 1992, then, we have moved from the Minerals Act to the APRT. And the Minerals Act, when you look at it, it was like a hands-off approach in terms of mining environment. But now, in terms of managing the mining industry. But now the mineral NPRCA is basically creating a situation whereby we have to be hands-on in terms of managing the mining industry. So I think what is needed is just to increase capacity within this branch. The other one is on transformation and policy enforcement. Are we transforming enough? Well, it is a challenge. If you look at the department itself, I think we have transformed internally in the department. We have really transformed. There are areas where we have got to address a few things, but basically the department themselves have transformed. But in terms of the mining industry itself, I think we can do more. And what needs to be done to ensure that transformation takes place in the mining industry? We have the tools. I always tell people this. We have the tools, the mining charter. If we can implement that mining charter and enforce it, I think we can transform the mining industry. Things like even the social and labor plan, if they can be properly implemented and implement all the elements of the mining charter, not only equity, but also training people. I think that is the area where we need to focus on enforcement of the charter. The other one, I think, is from Honorable Abrams on the printmaking program. One, we're going to address it.
We have about 20 women. It's a cooperative that has been said, I think, getting assistance from the DTI in terms of putting together the cooperative. I think the figure will be dynamic because some of them will exit, some will, you know, some will come in, but for now I think the baseline is about 20. And on the disabled, if I can preempt that, disabled people. We're still looking for projects. You know, we still have mining companies that are still a bit resistant with, you know, assisting us with projects for the disabled, but there's one or two that we're speaking to and we're hoping, you know, they can come to the party before the end of the year.
There was also a question on the mine dams. Certainly, it is a problem. The minister always says that we need to address this. What we're going to do this current year, we will be working at developing a strategy and say, how can we address these mine dams? Especially if you look at the eastern area, some of them are people that are settled around them. We need a comprehensive strategy. Once we've come with that strategy, we can then look at how we can implement this strategy. I think the biggest challenge there is some of those mines are owned by company, and we have to find a way. And some of them still see value in those dams. Okay. Now and again, they will reprocess them. The technology improves. They want to reprocess them again. So we have to come with a strategy and say, but now you can't continue to reprocess this thing when people are around you. Maybe they will have to transport the dams and put them somewhere else to be reprocessed in the central place or something like that. So that is the document which we are going to work on during this current financial year. The other one from Honorable Sinclair on Higa Reminder, it is a challenge. I mean, today I think we've got
two messages of the progress when it comes to Indian miners. The perspective of mine is on top of that. He's aware of what is happening. It's what we have done in the past. We took the approach of saying we can't solve this problem, especially the department itself. We can't solve it. We need to bring stakeholders on board. We need to bring in the police. We need to bring in the communities around there and try to find a solution. And it was successful, this approach in the Free State in the past. And in the Eastern, recently the minister called some stakeholders together and said, let's find a solution. And they agreed to come with a plan. Some of the mines are even starting to rehabilitate some of these areas wherever they just left open. I think the trick here is to ensure that we rehabilitate, especially as the mind, they must rehabilitate concurrently. I think that is a very important one. Because what happens is, if people mind, sometimes they go bankrupt. If they go bankrupt, they can't rehabilitate, there's a problem. Then it attracts illegal miners. So we need to ensure that we rehabilitate those areas. Because once you have rehabilitated those areas, it will actually minimize the problem. The other one, the big diamond trader. I think this one I will leave to the minister to answer that one. Definitely, we agree with you. It needs to be finalized. We need to find the final solution to this matter. But currently, as you know, it is in Johannesburg. We will come back to you on that one. Other one on beneficiation. With regard to beneficiation, what has happened, we have developed a strategy. And this strategy has identified five value chains. Okay. But what is important is now we need to put together an implementation plan for this strategy. This is what is currently taking place. But we also have to know that, you know, it will not only be the Department of Mineral Resources which will ensure that the beneficiation takes place. You need other departments like trade and industry, Department of Science and Technology. So it will be a collaborative approach whereby other departments are also involved in this process. But also, I think the minister has said this many times, you know, we do not expect miners to be beneficiators. All of us who are saying that miners must facilitate beneficiation. That is very important. Issues of ensuring that raw materials is available for people who want to beneficiate, who want to manufacture. I mean, that is, those are the issues we need to be addressed when it comes to beneficiation. The other one is the relict mines, ownerless and relict mines. Then the whole issue of ownerless and derelict mines is a, you know, we all know it's a historic matter. Over 100 years of large scale mining in the country has taken place. And we have got all these unrehabilitated mines. If we had resources, we would just move on, put teams there, and rehabilitate and close this land. But we don't have enough resources in terms of addressing this. So the little money which we have, we ensure that we rehabilitate. I think for this year, we're targeting 12. Okay? 12 years. It will take us many, many years to come. I mean, they have estimated this mine to be plus minus 6,000. So it will take us many, many years to come. But what can you do? If you are a mining country, these are some of the things which you will be left with. It's not unique to South Africa. You can go anywhere in the world where mining took place at the large scale, like in South Africa, you find the problem. You go to Germany, same problem, they are facing the same problem. Exactly, literally duplicate, they've got acid mine drainage, they've got all these drainage mines. You go to America, everywhere where mining has taken place in this case, you always find this problem. And it's not unique to South Africa. How are we going to spend money in the provinces? I think what we can do is we can provide a report in this regard to show you how, because if you look at the department itself, we have what regional offices which are in province. And our work basically is in province, it's not centralized. You know? We in Kimberley, we have got an office there, which is based in Northern Kimberley. You know? So they we will ensure that that takes place. And if you look at even our associated institutions, they will have programs in the provinces. For instance, the Council for Social Science will be meeting across the provinces. We can show you where they will be doing work, what type of research they will be involved in, so that we can provide you if it's okay with you. The other one from Honorable Ngungu on the dam to be rehabilitated. I will follow this letter, definitely. We come back to you and indicate to you how we can address this matter. It's just that for now we have already defined the number of mines we are going to rehabilitate this year, but we can look at it, we'll visit the area and see maybe if we can reprioritize and address your problem. We'll definitely come back to you on that one. On financial,
the perspective that deals with financial stewardship, yes, is across all the branches, and this is in line with the balanced scorecard approach, which, you know, we have to ensure that from every program, we not only look at the technical aspects that talk to that specific program, but we need to look at all the quadrants, basically, you know, human resource issues, financial issues, as well as internal business processes. But as for the staff that manage the finances, we have a centralized system within the DMS where the most of the processes within finance environment are driven centrally within health, with some level of support staff in the various programs. As to how much that costs, we can work out the numbers, but it will be difficult to allocate it per program member.
Thank you very much. The other one is from skills development. I will ask the Chief Inspector of Mines to address it together with the outreach one.
Thank you. In terms of skills development, together with the other stakeholders, the union and business, we've agreed that the work of the NQA should be represented at the province. Previously, the office of the NQA was mainly based in Johannesburg, but now through our strategic plan in the next 5 years, we are looking to be also represented in the relevant provinces. We are looking at where there will be a lot of growth in mining. We are looking at Limpopo. We are also looking at Mpumalanga. We are looking at Northwest. We are also looking at the Northern Cape. But I think with all the programs as well, what is very important, we make sure, even with buzzwords, even with level 11, level 12, methamphetamine programs as well, we make sure that all the communities which are affected, including rural areas, do benefit. So there are workshops that the NQA, that are done from the NQA to make sure that the communities also benefit, and there's a balance spread across all the 9 provinces.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, the other one I think was from Honorable Nguni is on, are we going to reach our 26% target? I'll ask the DDT to address that one.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. The question that was asked by Honorable relates to the target of 26%. Whether we are on track and whether we are going to achieve give a talk, come day before day. I will just also give a bit of a context and some background. To say that when we had the first mining chart in 2004, when an assessment was done in 2009, the result quite clearly indicated that we had not achieved the target there, which was 50% there. And one of the things that was also identified was that that version of the mining charter was not imbued with the scorecard, something that we can use on an annual basis to monitor progress. And also, then was identified there were certain areas that required strengthening. And the amended mining charter that has since been brought into operation has been strengthening those elements of ensuring that on an annual basis, there will be annual reports submitted by rights holders, and which reports will then be used for purpose of enforcement and monitoring. And outside that, there will be a basis now for those rights holders who are non-compliant to end up having their rights revoked because they have not achieved that which they had undertaken to achieve, and or they have failed to implement undertakings and commitments contained in their rights. As a department also, we changed tech towards increasing compliance and inspections and enforcement. Hence, in our presentations, we kept on emphasizing compliance inspections and enforcement. And then the other thing that was also done was to ensure that the structure called MIGDET, which is a tripartite structure comprising the department, business that organize the labor, annually sit and or collectively sit from time to time through its subcommittees to monitor progress, because no one wants come 2040 for us not to have achieved the targets that are contained in the mining charter. As much as the focus may, for now, in terms of the question that Honorable Mugunet asked, been maybe around the equity target of 6%. From our perspective as a department, compliance must be with all the elements contained in the mining charter. Hence, the minister would have been heard, even of late, lifting the issue of procurement within mining, because it's one of the areas where, as the minister was indicating, where they identified that there are challenges. But to summarize the, and to respond directly to the question that the Honorable Mugunet asked, we are confident that the plans that we have put in place and working together with many leaders, we should be able to meet this target on the road. It is in our interest as a collective that this target be met. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member.
Thank you. Honorable Member, any follow up? The day was too long for you. The presentation was too long. Okay. No, it's a brand new DG. He has worked himself into it, and he understands the issues with the team. And it's very seldom that you hear that a committee of parliament says that the presentation was good. So you are not a brand new DG anymore, as you have rightly said, Director General. But let me take this opportunity, DG, to if there's any parting shots from your side which you want to make before I close the meeting.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much for all the advice you always give us. We really appreciate that. They only make us strong and stronger. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. I have been tasked to ask the department something, and I don't want to neglect that task. Otherwise, Honorable Evans will hold me before a disciplinary committee, and I don't want to be before a disciplinary committee. It is just that the presence that you have given with the portfolio committee, the question is the members of the select committee, which could not have attended the dinner this evening due to other commitments that they have, they're also going to receive the same presents which the DMR has given out. they say Parliament consists of two houses. Consists of the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. Like I said, I don't want to, as you get onerous and dynamic minds, I don't want to lack what...
Oh, you then, you don't have to sound like a king then.
Yeah, or assets, what is it? I think assets, water. So I'm just doing my duty to ask the department before a certain question I've been raised in Parliament, whether the members can be treated equally as these two houses in Parliament. No one is above the other one. So I'll leave it at that. Thursday is the debate, and I can guarantee you, if not, it will come out in the debate. Let me thank the members and also the department. DG, you and your team, we wish you all the best. There's still a lot of hard work that lies for this department to get everybody happy and to get everybody, and specifically for the industry to fulfill the obligations, specifically the social and labor responsibility. Transformation in the industry still needs a lot to be desired, but slowly but surely, I think the department is getting there. Slowly but surely, what we could gather, what we could see, is that the department has, the main thing, won the confidence of the industry, and has also won the confidence of a lot of South Africans, majority of South Africans. We'll still get the people that is still very, very negative on one side, but I think as a department and we as parliamentarians, we can't be sidetracked by that. There is a lot of work that still needs to be done, and we have to focus on the positives. For you and your team, all the best, and we hope to see you on Thursday. Members, the debate is on Thursday. We will do it with energy. It will be one debate. 2 ministers presenting their budgets in the House, but it will be one debate. The opposition parties, if you can put your names, get your names into the office of the chief, Ms. Yolanda Daniel. So that is that then. If there is no other burning issues which will burn you out before Thursday, nothing? Okay. This week in Senate adjourned. Thank you very much. So Nambi, there's no soccer to watch tonight. Oh. At least Chelsea has won UEFA as well. Nambi. At least Chelsea has won UEFA as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to China. Which one? No, it's tomorrow, man. Of where? Oh. Okay. You wanted to say?
Tomorrow, do you need to be elected to the
capacity? Eh? Yeah. You know how the rules are. There's not one of these guys. Didn't prepare to talk to these people. They're going to come and do his job.
Hi, come. They forgot to give me the training the day when I went to pack the stuff. Where are you? I'm in the house now.
Okay. this type.
No, because I was in a meeting, so I couldn't answer the phone. Even the first time I went outside to respond to the meeting. So is it possible for you to go and fetch it, please? I'll give you the petrol. No. Pick up your wife. They won't fall down.
You are out of order.
Really, is it a big thing?
Okay. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow.
No, they know about it. You can just tell them that you must come and pick it up because they phoned me yesterday. But I told them if they are folded, that they forgot about it. Because I was there with Mr. Bike on that day. And they forgot to put a note in my car. You must go on the other side of the way they are doing the material. You must go and ask for my backing for Grace's backing. And if they if they want to, you can just give them my phone if they want to make a shopping
list.
Oh, okay, then.
Okay.
I'm Jenna.
What
is it? Nothing happened.
Come on.
Yes, I was going to forward you the correspondence from the person. That they agreed that they will be doing overtime, they coordinated overtime. They coordinated overtime on those problems that have been decided. Like,
when is that? The week of the 10th?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have, next week, do we have coffee?
Yes.
Next week, Tuesday?
Yes, we do.
But I'm rude because I've got another commitment. But it's on the
agenda.
I think we will be doing the ICC and Kula.
Next week?
Next week.
What is the date?
This is the 29th.
Big one. Kenny, we've got a message from the house chair. Have you received that? That the house chair that says that we should follow doing the follow-up visits on the previous programs of taking Parliament to the people.
Hmm.
He has just issued a thing to say that who's been
PM, please. Hello.
They said that all any other applications will be flagged. We have to go to follow up of okay, now but where are we going forward? We don't know yet.
Yeah, no, the
three states and what's the other one?
No, the NCOP will allocate to the members.
Yeah, the NCOP will allocate to the members.
So we don't know who's going away. Oh, Chaperson, we need to talk about the meeting of the 29th.
The meeting of the 29th, Chris? What do you think will happen on the 29th, Chris? I'm talking, Chris.
We are dealing with the IBC and Kula Enterprises. I just want to talk with you if you want to add something on this agenda.
You know what? I just need to come and brief us on the job plan in the provinces. Is there no
food
in the program that we can get all these entities?
No.
For 2 days at the last year.
Mm-mm. Even here, I think it's too much to have the two from 10 o'clock to 1.
No, let's just call the IDC. Can someone brief us on the first stance and also on the street spending operations and all that, also on the job drivers which they had previously, you know? Hello?
Sorry.
Hello, Carol.
No, we were in a meeting this morning and I was just in the meeting.
About? Oh, you know what? There is one thing on my mother said to God that has got me into hot water. Apparently, there's a paragraph in the minutes or sentence which I said that the councillors are powerless. I didn't also pick it up last night.
Who?
Yeah, it's packed in the minutes. Oh. So that has got me into really, really trouble. Because Tepo said he never on the minutes. And yeah, but I think before we send out the minutes, let's just check the reason.
Okay.
No. I was 6 days in the front of